Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is entitled Loyalty to God's Word. Satan's strategy has always been to make us doubt, deny, and disobey God's words. God's Word, the eternal Logos, is the second divine person of the Trinity. The Logos became a human being named Jesus, John 1:14, who revealed that he is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. God's word is always true, John 17:17. It reveals that the only way to experience God's life is through our Lord Jesus. Since Jesus is the Logos made flesh, to reject God's word is to reject Jesus. Faith in and loyalty to Jesus includes being loyal to his word. Every person will eventually face a crisis that tests our loyalty to God's word. For Adam and Eve, it happened in the garden when Satan, disguised as a serpent, questioned Eve and cast doubt upon God's integrity and the truthfulness of his words. Adam and Eve failed the loyalty test. It is important that we pass it. Satan is a cunning deceiver whom Jesus called the father of lies. Speaking to the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders who resisted God's truth, Jesus said the following in John 8:44 and 45, quote, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." New King James Version. We need to understand that the devil's lies are still very seductive. Through them, he has enslaved most of humanity. Revelation 12:9 says, "So the great dragon," meaning Satan, "was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." New King James Version. Once enslaved by his lies, we naturally resist the truth. Once a lie sets up residence in our hearts and minds, it is easier for us to accept it rather than God's truth. In other words, we will actively resist our own liberation when we are confronted with God's truth. When lies are repeated to us over and over again, it's called brainwashing, which is difficult to overcome. Such deception is increasing as the age in which we live draws to a close. 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12 reads, "And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." New King James. Paul the Apostle told us that Satan's lies work inside us to erect strongholds or fortresses that resist the entrance of God's truth. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. The only way to overcome these lie-based strongholds is by believing the truth of the Word of God as revealed by the Spirit of God, whose ministry includes guiding us into all truth. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, said Jesus in John 16:13, New King James. Just as we must choose Jesus above every imposter vying for our hearts, So we must be loyal to God's word above every lie that opposes it. We cannot be disingenuous by embracing some form of syncretism. That is, we must not try to blend God's truth with a lie in an effort to have our cake and eat it too, so to speak. Syncretism is the first step in a downward slide into idolatry and has always been a temptation for God's people. The ancient Israelites often were insecure in their devotion to Yahweh and tried to blend worship of other gods into the mix, just to cover their bases, so to speak. What if the other gods were real and their protection was needed? The result was always a disaster. God allows no other gods to come between us and him. Exodus 20, verse 3. Syncretism will never work for us either. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:21, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." New King James. Likewise, it is impossible for us to be completely loyal to God's word while simultaneously embracing what fights against it. In today's world, unless one is involved in the occult, the most likely enemy that invites us to dilute or contradict God's truth is what is falsely called science. We have been taught to believe that scientists operate in the realm of fact apart from having any sort of ideological bias. But nothing could be further from the truth. For example, when astronomer Edwin Hubble discovered that the red shift exhibited by the stars indicated that the Earth is the center of the universe, he wrote that such was an intolerable conclusion, and I quote, "Such a condition would imply that we occupy a unique position in the universe, analogous in a sense to the ancient conception of a central earth. This hypothesis cannot be disproved, but it is unwelcome and would only be accepted as a last resort in order to save the phenomena. Therefore, we disregard this possibility. The unwelcome position of a favored location must be avoided at all costs. Such a favored position is intolerable." That is from his article, "The Observational Approach to Cosmology." While some areas of science use what is called the scientific method, other areas, particularly those associated with origins and cosmology, are based on conjecture and assumption cloaked in a facade of certainty. Neil deGrasse Tyson, a well-known spokesperson for such pseudoscience, famously stated that the theory of evolution is a scientific fact. Evolution, however, is at best an unprovable hypothesis and certainly not a fact, but it is taught as truth in our lie-based anti-God school systems. The world portrays those of us who adhere to the Bible's teaching about the origin of mankind as backward religious extremists who resist the advancement of an enlightened scientific view. To go against the dominant scientific worldview is to risk, or perhaps guarantee, being called a fool. This is a price everyone who is loyal to God's word must be willing to pay. 1 Corinthians 4:10. One might ask, if gravity is indeed a fact, too? Or is it merely an unproven theory espoused by Sir Isaac Newton to support the novel and non-biblical Copernican heliocentric theory, which soon thereafter morphed into the so-called law of universal gravitation, which today is accepted as an indisputable truth despite the fact that it cannot be proven in a laboratory. Satan uses pseudoscience to obscure the revelation of God. King David wrote these beautiful words that describe one of the purposes of creation in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. I quote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." New King James. Human beings are supposed to look upon what God made and see clear evidence of the Creator. Paul wrote in Romans 1:19-21, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." New King James. When our spiritual eyes are blinded by sin and lies, we cannot see evidence of God in his creation, which has devastating results by alienating us from God and his life. In an effort to shroud the entire world in deception, Satan has used what is falsely called science to spread lies about the world God made. Realizing this ever-present danger, Paul warned his protege, Timothy. And I quote, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen." There's 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21, New King James Version. Only by returning to the truth found in Genesis and reading it with an open heart and mind can we begin to get back to a proper understanding of creation. God created this world as the center of everything. It is a protected environment overseen by the Creator personally. His throne is located above the firmament. We are not, as so-called scientists say, an insignificant speck in an incomprehensibly large universe, hurtling at incredible speeds toward an uncertain future in which God is nowhere to be found. Jesus revealed how important it is to be loyal to God's word if we're going to experience freedom from Satan's enslaving lies. John 8:31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" New King James Version. It is time for God's people to rededicate ourselves to God's word and determine that we will adhere to it, no matter how costly it may prove to be. Those who honor his word will be honored by God. And I close by reading Isaiah 66:2 from the New King James Version. "For all those things my hand has made, in all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.